You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. It's Tuesday, guys. Monday, we got through it. Got a full week ahead of us still, just about 4 days. And we have some interesting news that's come through the front. We're going to be a little bit more sports today, so that's good. We can kind of talk more about some sports, especially some football stuff, a little bit of COVID, and NBA, and yeah, let's get this thing going here. The Washington Redskins have officially retired the Redskin name and logo. Now, the issue here with this, why they didn't go ahead and announce a new name, which is what they had insinuated they were going to do on Sunday night with a bunch of announcements and stuff. There's a couple legal things that are kind of holding it up. And we'll get to that here in a second if you hadn't seen this already. Basically, Sunday night, the Redskins made it sound like, hey, we're about to make this huge announcement. Let's all celebrate. And everybody said, oh, we got a new name coming. And when Monday morning rolled around and they unveiled the news, it was nothing that we didn't already know. It was literally, oh, yeah, hey, we're still under review. And when we finish with the review, the Redskins name will no longer be there. And we went, okay, tell us more. And there was no more. That was it. That was the announcement. So the first thing that's going on in the background, Dan Snyder is the owner of the Washington Redskins, and naturally he bought this team as an opportunity to capitalize. Angry NFL Scout talked about owners buying teams for outrageous amounts of money, saying, look, the owners don't expect to get a return on it the first decade and a half to two decades. They're still making their profits back. They're buying the team because they want to own a team, not because they want to make money. Because it's a long-term investment to have a team. You really can't capitalize your profit very quickly with an NFL team. There's all the restrictions. It's technically still a non-profit, so on and so forth. So, yeah, there's a lot of hoops and stuff. You might pay a couple billion dollars for a team, and yeah, you're not going to see that come back for a good 20 years, all right? Snyder's just starting to make profit on this team. The Washington Redskins are one of the top teams in terms of value in the NFL because their fan base is so incredibly loyal and passionate. Washington's always been like that. You go back and they've had some horrific stretches. You know, they still sold tickets. They still sell out just about every week. And when they have a home game and Redskins people, fans, they love that football team. So this has been a touchy subject for a lot of people who grew up with the Redskins, you know, as the team name. And now here we are going about to switch everything up and completely change the uniforms. And, you know, a lot of people don't like change. I think, honestly, I don't think the name was all that bad. There are a lot of Indian Native American people who liked the name and thought it was cool. But there were those activists, you know, the 5-10% whatever of activists that are the loudest. And that's who they listened to in this case and got it flipped. In terms of people who are actually Native Americans and upset by the name. And, you know, we talked about this last week when, you know, I said, if you're going to continually listen to the same 3-10% minority of people and let them control the country, you're not going to have a happy country. You're not going to have a happy team. You know, so that's kind of what we're dealing with here with the Washington Redskins in this name change. All right. We're going to get into this. We need a little nitty gritty, right? So Dan Snyder is just starting to profit on this team. He's been around for 25, years in that range since how long he's had it now. And just as he's starting to profit on it, FedEx drops their sponsorship. Nike stops selling their products. People start revolting against the name of the team. Dan Snyder, I can assure you, doesn't give a flying fuck about the name of the team. I can assure you of that. What he's trying to do, he has several minority owners in the team. That's another way that you can maximize your profit quickly, is by selling certain chunks of the team percentages to other owners. There are several minority owners in the Washington Redskins franchise. They get a cut of the profits. Now, when someone pulls all of your merchandise and they start pulling sponsorships, naturally your profits as a minority owner are going to significantly drop, and you might feel uncomfortable about it. Dan Snyder wants to play into this. Dan Snyder is trying to buy out these minority owners so that he can fully maximize the profit of a name change. So what's going to happen when they change the uniforms and the logo and the name of the team? People are going to go buy a ton of merchandise because it's a passionate fan base, especially if he picks a name that the majority of Redskin fans want and like. In fact, if he picks, a good name that people can get behind, he might have more than Redskin fans. He's going to definitely have more than Redskin fans buying the new stuff because they're just going to be thrilled if he picks the right name, something like Red Tails. People, that's gained a lot of steam from what I've seen on social media. Now, it's worth pointing out that there is a Redskins account that goes by, I believe the handle is at Bentley Haskins, who has created this demand around Red Wolves. Which a lot of people don't like initially. It was something I wasn't particularly fond of the first couple times I saw it. And I saw the uniform designs. I was like, yeah, you can do something with Red Wolves. But there actually is a connection between Redskins and Wolves. And the deal there is the Wolf was one of the most spiritually animals in Native American culture. It was considered very wise, and if your spirit animal was a wolf, you were generally wise, fierce, and a leader, an incredible leader. So this fits the whole kind of keeping that Redskin kind of style about the team and the name and everything because of the importance of Red Wolf of a wolf in Native American culture. Now, there's a lot of people pushing for, Red Tails, because that makes a lot of sense. Red Tails were the African-American, the Tuskegee Airmen during World War II, who flew several hundred missions, as an exclusive African-American unit. They've been etched into history with their success and their skill. And this is just, that would be a cool gesture, because a lot of people consider, Redskins to be a racial slur. So if you're going from Redskins to Red Tails, which is a complete 180 in terms of your racial stance, I suppose. I'm not sure what a good word is to use there for that. It works. It works for you. And it's a very good look. And you can do a lot with Red Tails in terms of logo, in terms of uniforms, in terms of marketing. There's a lot that is usable with that. So that does make some sense. Regardless, if he picks something and he gets the minority owners to sell their parts of the team back to him, he is going to profit tremendously. Because they're not going to sell the usual amount of merchandise they sell a year. They're going to sell beyond that. And it's going to be it's going to be a lot. A several hundred percentage increase in sales. Now, I think the way that he's going about it, he's trying to scare them, right? So they're not going to sell out naturally at this point because they know that the name change is happening. That was what that announcement was yesterday. Everybody's known that's happening. Everybody knew they weren't going to keep the Redskins name. See, in the announcement that they made yesterday, there was absolutely nothing there that we didn't already know. Mr. Snyder here has to pressure them if he wants to get to pull his weight. Now, why did he wait so long to change the name? This has been something that's been going on for a good 10 years, where there have been people calling for this name to be changed. And I think we talked about this as well in the show. But there are certain things that he wants to get. He wants to build a new stadium in Washington, D.C. And at this point, it does appear that they will sell RFK Stadium to him if he changes the name of the team. So this is why he has to be very careful with the name, the way that he changes it. The minority owners, he would like them to sell the team back, that bit of the team back to him. So these two things, once he gets these two things, he's got one, he's got the assurance of one. Once he has these two things lined up, he wants to go ahead and move forward. And that's what he's waiting for. Now, the holdup from a legal standpoint is the fact that there is a realtor in Washington that has filed and owns trademarks on pretty much anything Washington related. So Washington, he doesn't have the Redskins, but he has several of them that they've been in consideration. When they dropped the betting odds for what the Redskins could possibly change the name of their team to, this guy went and filed trademarks for every single one of them. And most recently added Red Wolves to that collection, I suppose is a good word. So he's holding a lot of these names hostage. And I think that's another holdup that they're kind of having, that they're trying to work through, is he's going to charge a fortune because he can make a quick buck on this new team name. Now, there's several as well that the XFL owns from when they had a team in Washington. They trademarked several of them. I believe a couple of them that were in consideration were owned by the XFL as well. But that is a thing. And they're trying to maneuver and work their way around that as well. So that's everything going on with the Redskins name change. When we come back, we're going to get into some other stuff. There's a couple guys that don't look like they're going to get on long-term contracts, and the expiration to get them under that contract is tomorrow. So let's talk about them and whatever else comes up next on the John Vogel Show.
Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. Let me ask you something. Are you looking to start a new podcast? If you are, go to Anchor. It's free. No minimum listenership. You start to monetize on it immediately. And they put it on all the major platforms for you. It's totally worth it. If you're looking to do a podcast, go get on Anchor. Start it up today. Start to build your base. All right. So there's two NFL players right now that I think is important to talk about that have not reached and do not appear that they will reach long-term deals. One of them we've talked on this show already. The other one is new. So we're going to start with the one we've talked about. And that's Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, the Cowboys have messed this up terribly. The Cowboys are kind of already very tight on their salary cap, especially with this drop that is expected this year. There is expected to be a good, you know, $40 million drop in the salary cap, at least, due to lost revenue from teams and the NFL regarding COVID-19. That's a big, big number. That's not something little. That is big, big number. Okay, so this is a big deal. You've got the Cowboys who have put a lot of key players on this team under long-term contracts. DeMarcus Lawrence, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, so on and so forth. These aren't cheap players either that they're putting under long-term contracts. These are big deals. I know that there's a couple others. I can't think of who they are off the top of my head, but I know that there's several that they have done recently where you're looking at it going, man, I don't know how they still have salary cap left. Dak Prescott, the quarterback, still doesn't have his long-term deal. He will play under the franchise tag this year because they are not optimistic about reaching a new deal. And the biggest mistake, everybody knows this, the biggest mistake the Cowboys made is not getting Dak signed before Patrick Mahomes. Because you, as we all know, Mahomes signed this big, crazy deal last week. $503 million over 10 years. Insane. Great contract on both sides. It's basically we'll pay you if you play. You got injury insurance. We're probably not going to cut you if you get hurt. It's like a safe team deal, but at the same time, it's a great deal for the player. Awesome stuff. Now, the Cowboys are not known for putting contracts together like the one. Nobody's known for putting contracts together like the one Mahomes got. And there were reports Dak was already starting to ask for $40 million a year. We talked about this. I know we did because this was a big deal. There are reports that he's asking already for $40 million, and the Cowboys did not want to pay him that per year. They love Dak. They think Dak is their quarterback. They think that he's going to be the man that leads them to a Super Bowl someday, I guess. But they don't want to pay him that much. They don't consider him to be that good. There's a lot of people who don't. I think he's a borderline top 10 quarterback. And I think I would most of the time put him in the top 10. I think the last couple of years he's taken some serious steps forward and he's seriously improved. I don't know how much, though, he completely elevates an offense by himself. I know that he needs weapons. I know that he needs things around him. But he can make plays. And he's got a good arm. And he's become an accurate quarterback with a lot of practice. He's about to hit his prime. And this is where we're going to see him over the next 3-4 years, him at his finest. So if you get him on a long-term deal, you're going to have to live with the fact that because you've waited so long to do this, you're probably going to have 2 to 3 years of that deal where he's not playing his top-level football and you're stuck with him if you're going to sign him to a long-term deal. That's the thing. Jerry Jones, as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, does not like to feel stuck. He likes to feel in control. He likes to be the man running the show. He doesn't like players who want to run the show. I wrote about this as well. I wrote about how there is a history of the Dallas Cowboys using the media and using these contract negotiations to force players to take less. Dak's not buying any of it. So the Cowboys made the mistake by letting Mahomes get signed to this crazy, crazy deal, setting a new precedent for contracts, and now Dak's going to be asking for more money that you can't afford to fork out on. There's a very good chance Dak is not a Dallas Cowboy next year. Have to say. The other one that we definitely need to bring up is Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry. This is another interesting situation. Because I understand why the Tennessee Titans are hesitant to put Derrick Henry on a long-term deal. It's because any time you start to pay a running back here in the last several years, their value, their team, the usage on the team. I don't know their motive. I don't want to say their motivation because I don't know these players personally. There's just a lot of things that appear to drop drastically. Their production, their usage in the system. I know that the Titans, they want Derrick Henry around, but it's very clear that he wasn't the priority this offseason because the priority was quarterback Ryan Tannehill took a four-year crazy deal, which now doesn't look so crazy because that's kind of like the going rate for a mid-tier quarterback, $25 million a year at least. So, especially since Patrick Mahomes is getting paid twice that on average in his deal. Now, Ryan Tannehill, his success last season was predicated upon the fact that Derrick Henry was running the football at a crazy, incredible, powerful rate. Now, the offense, the nucleus of the Tennessee Titans offense is their running game. And the nucleus of their passing game, the explosive factor of it, is the play-action pass. That's where Ryan Tannehill made his money. The threat of Derrick Henry running the football was too much for most defenses in the NFL to handle. And then you've got playmakers down the field like A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. He's working. He's getting there. He's better. But A.J. Brown was the big factor this year. He stepped in. You've got the couple tight ends, Johnny Smith, Delanie Walker when he's healthy. You see, this team right now needs Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry needs to understand he probably shouldn't take anything more than a two-year deal. See, the Titans shouldn't offer him a 3-, 4-, 5-year deal. Especially because running backs impact in the NFL as a player, for the most part, is significantly limited. Saquon Barkley, do people look at him and say he was worth the second overall pick? I don't know. Christian McCaffrey, people feel like he was worth the 8th overall pick? I don't know. We haven't seen how long they're going to be around. Todd Gurley is a great example. He's a running back that took over the league for 2 years while struggling even with injuries. Rams cut him. His team cut him and the Atlanta Falcons picked him up. He's with another team now. Went from being one of the top players on the team to he's cut. He's gone. Running backs. Le'Veon Bell. You can't talk about running backs without bringing up Le'Veon Bell. He's getting paid $16 million to make a minimal impact with the New York Jets per year. And that's what it is. It's a minimal impact. Facts are facts, guys. The guy barely ran for 500 yards last year. Missed a few games. The Titans don't want to pay their running back, Derrick Henry, because it just hasn't worked recently in the NFL. And for good reason. You look at it, people, that's just how it rolls. That's how it works. There shouldn't be. The Tennessee Titans do need to try to get him on a 2-year deal. And Derrick Henry has to be okay with that. Because that's what's going to keep his security, first off. Because even if you sign a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal, there's nothing guaranteed past that 2-year. You're not going to get anything guaranteed past that. Take your two-year deal, play it out, come back at the end of it, work out another one. That's how you're going to maximize it. That's how you're going to maximize your career. Anyways, that's about all the time we've got for today on the John Vogel Show. Thank you for tuning in, guys. And I appreciate your support across all the platforms. Been hearing some good stuff, some good feedback from you guys, and I appreciate you all listening. I've seen the numbers. They're going up. Things are good, okay? There's been several people that have reached out to ask me, how are you doing? How are you holding up? I'm good, really. I'm good. Now, there is a mob out there, yeah. There's a bunch of people on Twitter and that really don't like me. That's okay. And they think they're all tough. They really do. They think that they're tough and they're going to get under my skin. But none of y'all went to basic. None of y'all ever heard what a drill sergeant and drill instructor had to say to you to make you feel like a real piece of shit. All right, so there ain't nothing to it. There ain't nothing to what people say, especially when you know you're speaking truth. I did not ever anticipate joining Twitter and becoming a political activist. It just kind of happened. Anyways, you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll come back tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have good content to bring up and talk about. And let's roll with this thing, guys. Let's have fun. Y'all, be safe, be peaceful. God love y'all.